This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is up, DMV Hoops fans? Welcome to another Believe in DMV Hoops. I'm Matt Moderno. I've got Ben Dixon joining me here today of InsideMarylandSports.com. It is my go-to source for everything Maryland basketball related and football related too, obviously. But today we're going to focus on the basketball side of things. Ben, how are you? And thanks for coming on.
Good, Matt. Good. How are you? Thank you for thanks for having me.
Yeah, as a diehard Terps fan here, it's really helpful to have all the recaps you guys provide. Like, there's always an in-depth breakdown of every new edition, and with so much transfer portal movement, it's just it's the only way to keep track of all these guys. So thank you for what you guys do.
Yeah, awesome. Appreciate that.
We're going to just get into the whole offseason and who's in, who's out, all that kind of stuff, and recap things for fans here a little bit. Before we get going, we're brought to you by Stateside Vodka and their Surfside hard iced teas, hard lemonades, strawberry lemonade, raspberry lemonade, all these new flavors, and they're all equally delicious. Also brought to you by Bet Online. It's your number one source for all your summer sports this season: MLB, golf, UFC, WNBA, tennis, whatever you can think of. Get the latest stats, news, and scores available for your favorite teams. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports, player props, all that good stuff. You can head to the website today or use your mobile device to join in. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, Ben. So maybe let's just kind of recap for people a little bit of who they should be looking forward to this season here. Obviously, Dante Scott and Jameer Young are both out. A couple other names that went out with them as well. But those are really kind of the key contributors that are missing from last year's team. And they brought in some guys that I think can really kind of make an impact here right away. So just looking at this thing as like a delta, I feel like this is value added. Obviously, Jameer is a huge piece. Dante was a productive guy. But overall, I'm feeling good about like the level of talent they brought in. Am I crazy or am I on the right track here?
No, I mean, I think you'd think so. And I also think for, you know, the majority of Maryland fans, the offseason started a little bit earlier this year, knowing that the team wasn't going to be in the tournament. So I think first things first, just early on, back, even dating back to, you know, January, February, what's going to happen with Derek Queen. Obviously, I think their reviews have been, positive since he's been there. And then what's going to happen with Juju really toward the end of that Julian Reese toward the end of the Big Ten tournament, end of the season. People didn't know whether he'd be staying. Obviously, you know, his coming back is huge for them. And just from a portal perspective, obviously, you know, hard to really replace what Jameer did in averaging, what, over 20 a game. I mean, you look at where he stands in the record books and just, you know, two seasons in Maryland. Obviously, this year wasn't, you know, as good for the team, but he's still up there in terms of top 10 scoring numbers and things of that nature. So tough replacing him. And then obviously Dante Scott, being all-time leader in games played and started. I think by the time those 5 years were out, fans probably had their different opinions on him. But it means for what he did for the program, you know, obviously a big guy to replace there. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Gillespie was the first guy they added in the portal. It's so long ago at this point.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, a little bit different, obviously, than Jameer in terms of, you know, matching Jameer's speed and athleticism. I think he's just probably a little bigger, but for him doing what he did at Belmont, you look at the NBC transfers that have come in recently, Domask at Illinois, Lance Jones at Purdue. Those guys were productive. So got to be hopeful there. Rodney Rice, obviously a name that Maryland fans have known for a long time. Salton Miguel, good later add. And obviously a couple more there with Parra and Jalen Young a couple days ago. But all good. I think you look at the people that they lost as well. Kizer a big one, given that, you know, Willard played him a bunch as a freshman, but no real devastating losses to the portal per se. So overall, I think, you know, good value offseason, like you said.
Let's maybe just go a little bit in depth here on Jacoby Gillespie for not, if somebody not familiar with this game. Like you mentioned, I think he's taller than Jameer, but maybe a little on the skinnier side, you know, comparably, and Jameer's probably the better athlete. But this is somebody I think that from a shooting perspective and a floor spacing perspective is probably better than Jameer. Maybe as a table setter, a little better than Jameer, but not the raw scorer and probably not the defender, I would say, that Jameer was as well. Do you think kind of that loss of maybe point of attack defense is going to hurt them a little bit? Or do you think Gillespie can kind of pick up the slack there at least?
Look, I mean, I think if you look at the guys that Willard would bring in or Willard has had, they're not going to be defensive liabilities. And sure, you know, the fact they'll have a summer on him, I think there's a bit of concern just given that he didn't really play any power competition, you know, at Belmont, and I know they didn't play a ton of power foes last couple of years, but I really don't think there should be much concern. And the fact that they not only added reinforcements with him, a guy who averaged what 17 a game, bring the three ball, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit given last year's struggles, but you know, to not only add him, to add Rice, to add Miguel, to get, you know, a veteran sophomore Harris Smith back, who, you know, should be good defensively as well. I think it'll be, you know, and Gillespie obviously being the star and hopefully kind of like Jameer, you know, at least a couple years in College Park. But yeah, I don't think there should be much concern necessarily. And if he's not going to be, you know, the defensive, you know, ultra athlete that Jameer was, where the guy can get up and down the floor in a second, there's plenty of other guys who could provide that aspect. So
that's great. You mentioned it there. That's kind of the elephant in the room for last year's team was the shooting. And that was probably the worst Maryland shooting team I've ever seen. And we've had a couple clunkers over the years. They were 29% on threes, which was 347th nationally, and inside the arc, 49% on twos, which was 247th in the country. Your defense has to be so elite to be able to just even make you competitive when you're that poor a shooting team, considering the competition they played. So even if they took a little bit of a step back defensively, I think just the group they've added here is going to be so much more dynamic and probably have to guard five out with some of these, you know, lineup combinations they could have. So I feel a lot better about that end of it, at least.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the close games they lost last year. I don't have the stat on the top of my head, but the amount of games they lost within 4 or 5 points. If you make a couple threes there, it's a different ball game. And look, you're not asking them to be a top 50 shooting team in the country. You had a couple guys. I know Miguel had some up and down shooting in his career, but he was great shooting the ball last year at USF. You know, just some guys who can make threes. Maybe Chance Stevens steps in there. Obviously, he missed the year. That physicality could be a bit of a concern, especially coming off the injury and the jump in talent there. But, you know, if they're somewhere in the 200s or maybe even late 100s, it's a big step forward from what was last year. Because there were times where you felt you were watching, you know, historically bad shooting team out there, and you just felt if you could make a couple more per game, then it just changes the outlook of the season.
I'm all in with the Kevin Willard prioritized defense thing, but I don't know that I can watch another rock fight like last year. So as long as there's like some kind of improvement, I feel like Maryland fans can just kind of take like a big sigh of relief about at least more fun basketball to watch overall.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't think anyone's expecting, or, you know, at any time for them to be a top 10 shooting team in the country. Right. But if you can, you know, 347th or whatever number you just said, I know somewhere in that range is absolutely, you know, just unacceptable from, you know, an offensive product. So even improving, you know, 100 spots is going to be like watching a different offense. So
it was obviously nice to have a playmaker like Jameer to close those games. But the problem with that is every team knew that Jameer was going to be the guy to try to make the play at the end of the game. And at least this year, you know, you lose Jameer, you lose Dante Scott, you lose Kizer, you know, a little bit of production there. But you're bringing in, from scoring perspective, Gillespie, Miguel, Rice, and even Derek Queen. You know, those are four guys that could easily score double-digit points next year on top of that. So I think at least you just become harder to guard, because it's now everybody on the floor is a threat to score. And that's got to at least help them somewhat, I think, to close these games out.
Yeah, it should. I mean, you look at that Northwestern game last year where Jameer and Bowie were kind of going at it and trading shots. And by the end of it, everyone just knew where the ball was going. And you know, force a shot, didn't go his way, and they lose that game. But to your point, yeah, hopefully what I think Willard has done, it provides more options down the stretch of game. There's not going to be such a big load on someone's shoulders down the stretch, yeah.
And you look at that Northwestern team as a good example, I think. Also good defensively, but kind of one ball-dominant guard, but they also surrounded him with shooting. So even if these guys aren't you know, dynamic creators themselves, at least just a little bit of, you know, a threat from the outside will, should help that a good amount here too. You mentioned Selton Miguel. For anybody not familiar with his game, it was a 39% three-point shooter last year, averaged about 15 points at USF. They didn't have like the greatest year as a team. Like they were pretty good, obviously, but so people probably just didn't see a ton of them. So what more can you kind of tell us about Miguel as a player?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, being Bruno Fernando's cousin, if I don't know if you just touched on that, but, you know, the fact that he's got that Maryland pride, he's a guy that's going to take, you know, pride in putting on the Maryland uniform. I think the big thing with him is just watching those shooting numbers. I don't know if you have in front of you, but I think, you know, last year was obviously, I think, his best year shooting, and it was a little bit worse the year before and at Kansas State. I think if you get that shooting from him, you know, consistently like he had at USF last season, and someone who can also create his own shot and you know, isn't going to be the number one option. I think he's just a guy that, you know, you add to take pressure off a guy like Gillespie stepping into a role and you know, like we just talked about with Jameer's load. I don't think you want to be seeing that this year with Gillespie. Just not that it would be necessarily a bad thing given his talent, but you want to see the ball spread around like we just talked about. And I think Miguel is a guy who can not only, you know, hopefully knock down threes the way he did last year if you're Maryland, but can also, you know, create his own shot too.
Yeah, so 22% from three as a freshman, 21% as a sophomore, 33% as a junior, and 39% as a senior. And the free throw shooting sort of, well, I don't know, worse year as a junior, but is also considerably up from his first 3 years as a college basketball player. But even if there's a little regression, like still a 36% three-point shooter, you know, somewhere kind of splitting the difference between the last 2 years is still, you know, an improvement over most of the guys who were able to contribute for them last year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think just from a shooting perspective, you want to see Harris Smith improve from three also. I know obviously he kind of had a little bit more of a green light toward the end of the season there. But with him, I feel like, you know, obviously you being a diehard Maryland fan, remember Darryl Morsell's progression as a shooter from kind of a non-shooter to someone who could really shoot the ball from three. So hopefully, you know, something like that for Harris Smith too. They ideally there's more than, you know, Jameer last year being your best three-point shooter, your best ball handler, your best everything like that. So just hopefully more balance is what you're seeing offensively this year.
You mentioned it early on. Dante Scott was a kind of polarizing player, I'd say, by the end of his Maryland career here. But he was also probably the other best shooter on the team last year, at least of guys that put up any real volume. And they didn't really seem to replace that too much at the four spot. You've got two not really stretch bigs in Reese and Queen. You obviously kind of bring back Jordan Geronimo, and then you bring in Gapari from Georgia Tech. None of those guys really shoot it at all. So I am a little bit worried about like the spacing coming from the front court. So you're very heavily reliant on that perimeter trio there to kind of do a lot of that work for you. Any thoughts on any of those guys if they could take a jump forward as a shooter?
Right. I mean, there's a few questions, and I think one of the big ones is what's the spacing going to look like with Juju and Derek inside. You'd think Derek can maybe not stretch the floor to three, but be more of a passer and creator than Reese is. So I think that should help a little bit with spacing. I know people are kind of you know, hopeful about Kapari. I don't know how much he's going to play, but I mean, what did he shoot, like 16% from three last year at Georgia Tech? He doesn't have a terrible stroke, so I don't think that's something that necessarily is going to leave his game. You hope that improves a little bit. And I mean, I think a problem with last year too was at one point George Geronimo was you know, jacking a couple threes per game. He got away from that a little bit, I think, if you look. But you know, hopefully not having that, just the fact that, you know, Willard brought in all these guards, and you're hoping that your best lineup includes those two big guys with Juju and DQ. You know, it's the spacing is going to be the number one thing to figure out, and surrounding them with shooters is kind of goes hand in hand with that. So you need, I don't know necessarily about the front court shooting to really match what Dante did, because as much as he was a four, you know, he'd also play five, three. He's kind of a Swiss Army knife from that perspective offensively. But yeah, I mean, you need that shooting to surround those two guys, because spacing is going to be a big thing. Yeah.
Do you think we'll see them stagger the minutes of Queen and Reese a decent amount? Like, or are they going to play all their minutes together? Or do you think probably one of them will be on the court at all times?
I think that's what you hope. If Juju, the foul trouble problem, I know that's kind of haunted him his whole career. Hopefully having DQ inside, you know, alleviates that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think you have to stack him in some sort of way. I mean, Geronimo is going to get a lot of minutes. I know he was, you know, starter for most of the year. Last year, you kind of got the luxury where that's not going to be the case this year, but he could still hopefully provide you that boost off the bench. Kupari can hopefully give you some minutes. Braden Pierce, maybe a guy that, you know, not a lot of people are talking about, redshirted last year, big 7-footer. Not sure what type of minutes he's going to provide, but, you know, another option there as well. So you got to figure out some method to kind of match the minutes. I think that'll probably be more of a problem come, you know, the exhibitions and, you know, things of that nature, but figuring out how those two are going to play together. I mean, they've done it, you know, 4 years ago or whatever at St. Francis when Derek was a freshman and Juju was a senior. But just once you figure out how those two are going to play with each other, I think the stacking minutes part will kind of figure itself out.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things where, like, it's a good problem to have. You know, I'd rather have two good bigs to have to figure out how to fit them in there rather than, you know, one and some awkward fits here, too. Just kind of sticking with the front court duo here a little bit. This is a better fitting roster, like, than last year's team. Like, I felt last year just felt kind of clunky. Do you think they kind of put together a more seamless group, I guess, overall?
I mean, it should be. Obviously, a lot of guards there in that backcourt to fill that one through three spots with, you know, Deshaun, Rodney, Jacoby, Selton. Yeah, maybe Chance gets some minutes. Don't know about Jahari Long status, but probably not looking too good for him. But, you know, with Juju and Derek, I think if those two pieces fit, like I said, I think everything's going to kind of fall into place. I think that's the biggest question mark, maybe not, you know, but crazy question mark, but probably the biggest question mark in terms of, all right, once you get those two playing together, the other stuff should figure itself out. Because like we've talked about, I mean, the shooting should be better. You should have more guys who can create their own shot. And I think that's the hope. Does it fit better than last year? Probably just because, I mean,
well, Maverick, just
it's probably a different conversation we'd be having at this time last year about, you don't think the shooting on the roster is going to be that bad, and you think Kizer gives you a little bit more from three, maybe Batchelor can play a little bit, Sean Harris-Smith isn't shooting whatever he shot from three. So the conversation may have had the same tone last year, but I mean, you'd think, just given the different complexion of what you're going to see inside, that the roster is hopefully a better fit as long as those two, you know, kind of work together seamlessly there.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
We see those two probably. I think Queen and Reese as sort of no-brainer starters going into next season. I would imagine Gillespie and Shelton Miguel seem locked into starting positions. It's really that kind of fifth spot, whether it's Rodney Rice and you go kind of three guards, or Harris Smith gets in there and you have more of a combo-y guard forward type who can guard a little bit bigger players. So I guess, what do you kind of expect for that fifth starting spot?
Yeah, we're going to have to see the team really play out, but I think Harris Smith is probably, you know, if those two guys are going to be your starter in the backcourt, Harris Smith's probably a natural option at the three, just given, you know, hopefully, you know, his size and athleticism, versatility guarding multiple spots, and hopefully his shooting's a little bit better where, you know, he could space the floor a little bit more offensively too as that three guy. So I would say him as of today, but, you know, we don't know. It'll be interesting how Rodney Rice fits into this group as the preseason progresses, if they're only playing, what, 8 games in college in 2 years. So he's kind of a wild card there. Obviously a lot of talent. But I would say today probably Harris Smith, just given his versatility defensively and hopefully an improvement offensively, would be a good option there.
It makes a lot of sense. Rice is a name obviously Maryland fans are familiar with. He's from DeMatha. You know, he's got a presence here locally, and so people saw him kind of coming up. But hasn't played basketball in 2 years, so I think there are probably a lot of people that kind of, if they've seen him play, they may not remember what his game is like. So what kind of player do you expect Rodney Rice to be? Is he a one? Is he a two? Is he a combo? Like, what kind of guy are they getting at him?
I think that it more depends what you see from Gillespie. I think you could see, you know, maybe Harris Smith playing that three spot defensively, but bringing the ball up to alleviate some off Gillespie. I think you're probably hoping he's a two or three guy who can knock down some shots. But we'll see. Like you said, I mean, he hasn't really played his whole college career, but it does, you know, speak some volumes that you look at all these transfer rankings when they first came out. Obviously, some guys in the portal late, but I mean, he's basically a consensus top 75, 100 transfer player, and the guy's barely played in his college career. So I think there's a lot of hope for what he can provide from a scoring perspective and just adding maybe sort of a different personality to, you know, blend in with DHS, Miguel, and Gillespie too.
Early on in that sort of transfer portal process, you know, it was pretty quick that Reese was coming back, and you get Gillespie early, you get Rice early, you know, Queen makes his announcement. And so it felt like Maryland was really cooking, and it never makes no sense asked in the chat. The start of the portal season was so promising and the close was so disappointing. I think us as Maryland fans, we got excited and thought like, you know, the big dominoes are just going to keep falling. There was some talk about Chaz Lanier, who ultimately went to Tennessee, I think. And then this last spot ends up going to Jalen Young, who played at Memphis last season, 6'2", 175 pound point guard, who averaged 2.2 points in 27 games last season. So kind of a bit of a drop off in terms of expectations from fans, I think. So kind of not going out with a bang necessarily to close out this roster here. But any thoughts on Young? Is there any expectation for him playing or contributing next year at all?
Yeah, I mean, he's got the connection to Kevin Norris from UCF when he was an assistant down there and Young was down there. It's probably going to depend on Jahari Long's health. We'll see. He's probably, you know, that fifth or sixth guard, you know, behind Rice, Gillespie, DHS, Miguel. We'll see about Chance Stevens. I think those two are probably the wild cards there in terms of what we're going to see. But in terms of, you know, transfer expectations, like the comment brings up, I mean, right away when you get Gillespie and Rice, you're cracking number one in the 247 rankings. Now I think they're 35, which is, you know, still respectable, but, you know, they didn't really add any, you know, more stars. I think Shelton Miguel's kind of flew a little bit under the radar in terms of what he can bring, just because he only has 1 year of eligibility, just from a national perspective. Sure. But, you know, he's a guy that'll bring that leadership. I mean, what, going to be 24 next season? So, you know, veteran there. But they're still, I think, top 20, if you look at MMBF, which is another great analytical site, top 20 in terms of transfer activity, in terms of what they brought in and what they've lost. It kind of measures that, you know, with Kaiser being the biggest loss in the portal. And you know, you're bringing in three guys who you hope could be high impact right away, and a fourth in Kapari should play in the front court. So, yeah, I get it that the start was promising and the close was disappointing. I'm not going to argue on that, but I think at the same time, you know, Willard did fill his 13th scholarship with Jalen Young. There's guys like Calipari who've said they're only going to use 9 scholarships. There's plenty of coaches who just aren't filling, you know, the full 13 anymore. It's not worth it. So I get the sentiment, but I don't necessarily think it's the end of the world. We can't forget those early ads and just the overall, you know, activity that they've had.
If they had started with Jalen Young and ended with Jacoby Gillespie, I think we'd feel totally differently all of a sudden. So
yes, but I think people were happy to get Gillespie out of the way early. Yeah.
It makes your life a little easier, I think, as a coaching staff too, from a optics perspective. So
for sure.
Sheldon Miguel, for anybody not familiar, you mentioned ties to Bruno Fernando. He's currently playing for the Angolan national team. We've seen it with NBA guys too, where they play for Team USA and then take a big jump the next year too. So I'm hopeful that that's a similar, you know, thing for Miguel, being around like other guys that are professionals in other leagues around the world. He kind of can see that he's playing with Bruno Fernando, I would assume, on that team as well. So just being around, again, another pro, hopefully you see him kind of take some of those habits and incorporate them into his, you know, routine and stuff like that too.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a good point, to be around that level of international basketball, and, you know, we'll obviously see what happens with this team, with you know, his team, mm-hmm. but, you know, him not being here for part of the summer for, you know, trying to do something in the Olympics. I don't think that's too big of a deal. Like I said, he's, you know, he's a veteran guy and should bring a lot of, you know, pride similar to Bruno. I know, you know, Jeff and the IMS radio guys had a really good interview with Shelton and kind of mm-hmm. the energy that he's going to bring. So, I think he's a guy that people should be excited about for sure.
He just seemed excited to come here. Yeah. And like that, I think that's infectious for the other guys. You see someone like Rodney Rice with the local ties. He seems excited to be here. Like, I don't know. The vibe felt off last year, kind of from the start. I was down in Asheville for those first two games. And
oh, man. Yeah.
It was weird and rough. And so hopefully this is just like a better clicking group, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, when you lose to Davidson and UAB right off the bat, UAB ended up making the tournament, but yeah. regardless early on there, not great from a vibes perspective. Like you said, they kind of dug themselves in a hole early and didn't have any, you know, crazy non-con opportunities to rebound from there. But yeah, to your point, I think the vibes, I think at this point last year were good, but
sure. That's a good point.
If they do start the season well and, you know, can beat a Marquette at home, I think the vibes change almost immediately. Yeah.
That's a great point, just on a kind of strength of schedule last year too. Willard talked a lot about kind of being, you know, voluntold to finish, you know, with that, that the Asheville tournament, like he didn't have a choice because they were already scheduled in advance prior to him coming here and building out the schedule kind of more to his liking this year. I think you have a few easier games to kind of ease into things, see how guys gel, figure some stuff out before, you know, you play your first like tough opponent, like you said, in Marquette. And I think that should help them kind of ease into things a little bit. And this is also probably a slightly down Marquette team from the last two seasons, losing Tyler Kolick and Oso Godaro. Not that they're not going to be good still, but
yeah,
it's not like this juggernaut top five team that's showing up right, in college.
But to your point, I mean, it should still be a top 20-25 team, and the environment should be electric for that game. So it's a good early season opportunity for that group. I mean, we could talk about the non-con schedule. I mean, I know you just alluded to it. People were kind of ragging on him on Twitter a little bit. It is kind of the Iowa State TJ Otzelberger method last year. They ended up getting a two seed after playing, you know, not a lot of people in the non-con. Look, the home schedule, you get one premier non-con home game, and I think that's great. Obviously, that tweet didn't have the games against Syracuse and Villanova are going to be neutral site games up at Barclays and Prudential. Mm-hmm. So those should be quad one, quad two opportunities. Look, not obviously they're not in an MTE. It's not a crazy crazy non-con schedule. Iowa State took advantage of, you know, the net last year by absolutely killing those cupcake mm-hmm. teams. They're going to have to take care of business because I think four or so sub 300 teams on Torvik right now that are on that schedule, which obviously isn't great. But that Marquette game is early on, and it could provide, you know, sort of a boost for what, you know, this team is going to be perceived as, you know, in the national scale, and you know, beating up on those teams could help too.
All right. You hit on it there. Not everybody kind of loved seeing that schedule come out, but I think when you have this many new parts and kind of moving pieces to kind of fit together, having a couple easier games to ease into it, it's a little risky. If you do lose your kind of big few opportunities, you can't really make it up, you know, too much later in the conference schedule just mm-hmm. because, but, if you win them all, like you said, you can get a little momentum going and capitalize on the net and the margin of victory and all that kind of stuff too. So, it's a risk reward situation, I think, and I'm cool with them trying to do that and seeing what worked for other teams last year.
Right. I know. I think they're meeting in Utah next month to discuss kind of. I haven't read into it too much. Maybe some changes. I don't. I don't know. I feel like it would be a little too late for this year, given that teams, you know, have already scheduled most of their games. But yeah, and the Big Ten 20-game schedule is always going to provide opportunities too for quad one wins and quad two wins, and you know, especially adding those four teams out west. So some more quality teams on the schedule, probably the same amount of opportunities, but the fact that you had, you know, UCLA, USC, Washington, and Oregon, you know. Mm-hmm. So it adds some more quality opponents to the schedule and kind of changes the look of what you're going to be doing. You're going to be traveling a little bit more. I know people pick up on the travel comments that Willard gives and, you know, kind of run with that. But, you know, the fact that they might be going out to, you know, Oregon on a Tuesday night and they're coming back home and hosting, you know, Rutgers or whoever on Saturday, you know, it definitely adds a little bit of an interesting complexion to the schedule there.
As somebody who wants to make a couple road trips with them, I'm looking forward to the, you know, Seattle, Oregon back to back there. So I think that should be pretty cool. And similarly, the year after going to LA for both games, I think would be a cool road trip for Maryland fans too. So
yeah, even a football game at Oregon this fall would sound like a good trip.
Yeah, I could get down with that. Just any returners from last year that you're expecting an especially big jump from? Is it DHS? Is it Pierce? Any kind of, I don't know, anybody we're not really talking about here so far that you think could have a jump?
Yeah, I think it's got to be DHS. Just you hope that he has that natural sophomore improvement. He probably played more than he should have last year, but it was you know, dealt with the bumps and the ups and downs of the freshman year, and he, you know, decided to come back when, you know, Jamie Kaiser didn't. Lamothe was obviously a little bit different. He had transferred down, but, you know, he's gone as well. So stayed loyal to Kevin Willard. You'd hope, you know, puts in a lot of time in the gym from what you hear. So you'd hope he gets better. Pierce, definitely. We talked about him. We don't know what he's going to provide just because we've never seen him on the college floor, but he could be someone. And then I think kind of an addition, like we mentioned a little bit earlier in the episode, not addition or returning, is Jordan Geronimo. The fact that you're going to be asking less of him than you were last year, a guy who has, you know, years of experience playing in the Big Ten. He should hopefully provide you those, you know, Patrick Vermilion type minutes from a couple of years ago. He was obviously a big part of that team that made the tournament and won a game. So his role decreased and, you know, he should provide that energy off the bench. I think people are forgetting about him a little bit in the rotation mix.
Yeah, it's a great call. I think someone like him, you can just be more effective in the minutes that you get when you're not having to kind of, he looked a little out over his skis sometimes with some of the things they asked him to do. And so this year,
yeah,
just come in, play hard as shit on defense, be athletic. Yep. And he was locking down starting power forwards last year. Now let him do it to backup guys. I think he'll look even better. And I don't know. This team seems equipped to get out and like run a little bit more too. You got two big rebounders who can pass enough to like start the break. And I think Belmont ran a good amount last year too. So like Gillespie will be comfortable, you know, creating for people in transition. And then you've got play finishers. Like DHS is a play finisher. Geronimo is a play finisher. So I'm excited to see maybe a little more tempo with this team. And that's probably something, I don't know, all Maryland fans hope for perennially, but we'll see if it actually happens.
Yeah. And you hope some more shot making leads to some more of a Willard's press too. Cause there were times last year when they just couldn't set up into the press and you know, they'd be out of games by the end of it. And so hopefully, you know, a little bit deeper, some guys can come in and get in that press. Cause you know, at times when they were clicking, you know, in Willard's 2 years at Maryland, that press is, you know, can be a sight to behold for some other teams and something that could be you know, real X factor in the D they present. So,
all right, Ben, this is a hot take. You ready for it? I think Malachi Palmer is going to be a more impactful freshman or more ready to play as a freshman. We'll see if he actually gets the minutes to do it than DHS was last year. I just really like, I've seen him twice in person, but I think he's ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible you're more qualified than me. If you've seen him in person, I know, you know, some of the early reports on him have been, you know, he's more than just your typical, you know, fringe 4-star kid who, and he could come in and make an impact. I know what he's a Maryland kid as well. So he'll take pride in putting on that Maryland uniform. But yeah, I mean, when you talk about the freshman class, it was obviously DQ, DQ, DQ. Well, what about Palmer? If he comes out, I think to your point, could have like a Big Ten level body and, you know, surprise some people out there. That's a good shout right there by you.
I feel like physically he's kind of in the same boat as DHS and I buy the shooting a little bit more. So if there's minutes for him to go around, I think that's really the question is if they can do that. But at the very least, that's sets up for a good sophomore season. I think learning behind, you know, Miguel for 1 year, like you mentioned and stuff like that too. So hopefully that's a long-term piece at least.
Yeah, Jimmy Patsos did an interview on 105.7 The Fan the other day, and he was kind of, you know, he talks a lot, and he obviously knows a lot too. But he was saying that Malachi is gonna surprise some people, so wouldn't be surprised there in the slightest.
That's cool. Yeah, they've been kind of looking pretty hard at those Mount Zion guys. I think we talked about Chris Jeffrey a little bit being there, and now Shane Pendergrass getting an offer too. So gonna be interesting to see if that's a new pipeline for them moving forward, because they put out a lot of good guys
too. Yeah. Could be, and get back into the Mathic pipeline too. Now that that Jameer's career is over and finished, eh, Maryland.
Ben, last question I got for you here: just what's a reasonable outcome for the season? Like, I'm not asking you to predict wins and losses, but like, what kind of ballpark team is this? Is this slightly better than last year's team if things click, or first weekend team? Like, I don't know, just general ballpark for us.
Yeah, I mean, look, it comes down to, can you replace Jameer? Can Juju and DQ fit together? And I think the biggest thing is the shooting, because we talked about last year the amount of games that they would have won if you make a couple more threes. So I think reasonable expectations is first weekend win a game in the NCAA tournament. I think, you know, expectations kind of shift, especially with this fan base, you know, what you see, you know, early on in November and December. But I think that should be a reasonable ballpark expectation going into this year. You got to make the tournament. You know, last year's season is, you know, 16-17, finishing under 500 at Maryland. You know, other than the year Terz and Danny Manning, that doesn't happen in College Park. So, you know, by Maryland standards, and the fans should you know, be thinking that it was an unacceptable season. And you know, you rebound when 20 plus games make the NCAA tournament, and I think it's a good building block for the year to come, because you never know in this era, but you hope a lot of these guys will be back in 25 and 26. So.
Yeah, I think this is a huge year for Willard and them from a sort of future of the program perspective. Like, you got a lot more money in NIL. If it doesn't pay off and guys aren't seeing return on investment, we saw it with Villanova, like the money was not there for them this year. So it's just, if you don't win with this kind of level of investment, I think that really kind of puts him in a big hole kind of moving forward. So I think if they can get back to the tournament, people have good vibes, it kind of keeps this thing rolling a little bit. So my fingers are definitely crossed that that's the case.
Yeah, I think on paper that should be the expectations. Obviously, a lot of new pieces, but everyone has got new pieces these days. So we will see.
Ben, where can people find your work if they're not already? Hopefully, they're listening to this. They are already reading and things like that. But
all the Maryland stuff on there at insidemdsports.com, and then just, you know, follow me on Twitter. It's my name, Ben Dixon __. Stuff on there, and yeah, I mean, appreciate you guys listening, and excited for the rest of this preseason and the season ahead.
I love it, man. I appreciate it. You do great work, like I said, and just some appreciate of the pieces that. Kind of touching on where other Terps are in their careers, I think is a especially fun read for us old school Maryland fans. Just where guys ended up is pretty neat.
Yeah, that's something I've always thought was interesting, because I, you know, grew up a Maryland fan, went to Maryland, obviously, so. You know, guys like Mel Trimble, you see they're having success. Yep. Might not be in the NBA, but still pretty cool refresher for those guys to see. So appreciate your compliment on that.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Again, check out Ben. His handle will be in the episode description here, so you can get to check that one out. Go to Inside Maryland Sports, the VIP subscription, obviously well worth the money. Comes with that Paramount Plus subscription too. So, you know, double win there if you want.
No brainer. So,
yeah, exactly. It's like free money at that point. So it's worth it if you're following the Terps. As always, rate, review, subscribe. We appreciate that. Click that little like button if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe button there, and notifications so this thing shows up directly in your feed when new episodes come out. Ben, thank you again for the time. Go Terps, everybody. Represented by betonline.ag, and we will check y'all next time.
Who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.